Parent Entrepreneur Power, conversation number 156.
Parent Entrepreneur Power.
Wait, what?
It's
power!
This is the podcast for parents juggling the tough choices required for success in business while putting family first. Hi, I'm Mary Catherine Johnson, and I share the ups and downs and dirty truths of profits and potty training while chatting with successful parent entrepreneurs from all walks of life. Are you powered up? Hey there, power parents. Guess who? It is Mary Catherine Johnson. Woohoo! Hello there. And it's fall. So I'm happy. Anyway, hello and welcome. And I have to tell you, I can't wait to chat with my next guest. And you'll know why in a minute. But I have to welcome to the conversation Laura Brandenburg. And she is the founder of, among many things, Mom Style Your Business. So I have a feeling you know what we're going to be talking about there, but I think we're going to be bringing in a lot of experience because she's been doing this a while. So hey there, Laura, how you doing? And welcome to the conversation.
Thank you so, so much for having me today, Mary. Glad to be here. It feels a little bit more like winter in Colorado. We're getting our first blip of a snowstorm. So.
Yes. Well, at least bundled you're not up. Buried. You're not buried in it yet, right?
And no, so not yet.
Winter is buried. Fall is sprinkles. Right?
Yes, exactly.
I know. I live up here near the Sierra Nevada Mountains, up near South Lake Tahoe and in California. And it's always a question of when we're going to get our first dump of snow, a first few feet. And it's usually after Christmas or around Christmas time, around the holidays. And it is so fun to just go up to the mountains and then be able to come back down to 1,300 feet and not have snow, not have to live in it. So, you know, I'm sure you must love it if that's where you chose to live in Colorado. I cannot wait to visit again. We were in Moab, Utah, and so we were right next to Colorado, but didn't quite get there the last time we were out that your direction. So, all right, enough talking about the mountains, which I absolutely love and I could talk about forever. Let's talk about business. All right, so tell me, when you say Mom Style Your Business and that business that you've been doing, we always start our conversation as a kind of a once upon a time story. So how did you become an entrepreneur and a mom at the same time?
Great, great question. So, and actually Mom Style Your Business is my second business. So that story really allows me to talk about my first business, which is called Bridging the Gap, which started as a blog just about 8 years ago. I had left the corporate world well before I was married or became a mom. So it was a journey to parenthood in a sense. But I left the corporate world, took the summer off, started a blog, started looking for consulting deals in the fall, and started blogging about business analysis, which was the career that I had been in before I left corporate. Just an effort to like find consulting contracts was my original goal. And kind of what happened was that more people within my community of business analysis were reading what I was writing, not people who would actually be in a position to hire me as a consultant. And so it kind of transformed from there. I wrote a book, I started delivering online courses, and now that company is really a virtual company based on a lot of passive income. I still work in that business, obviously, and I'm growing that business, but it's created a lot of financial freedom for us and our family. And it was a process of like, even I'm a planner, so even like 2 years ahead of me getting pregnant and having our first daughter, I was like, this consulting thing is not going to really work for me in terms of how I want to show up as a mom. Let me experiment with something else. And that was another draw behind the training model that developed over time. Wow. And so I was really building that business to have the freedom and how I showed up. And then it all came together finally when my daughter was born and I kind of figured a lot of the pieces out.
Wow. Okay. So take me on that journey then. Yeah. So what did you have like a savings you had developed? And so that you just decided one day to quit your corporate job and start this blog, or did you start the blog while you were still in corporate?
Or how did you do that? Yeah, I started it a few months after I left corporate. So leaving corporate and starting my online business were actually two very separate events in my life. So leaving corporate was just like getting out. We always thought I was going to go back, right? It was just more the situation I was in individually in that specific job. It was time to leave. And so I did have savings. And it was one of those like, gosh, I've been saving for a really long time. Like, and I'm really, really unhappy. So why, you know, maybe I should leverage some of the savings for my own happiness to take a few months off. And so that was a separate decision from then 3 months later, it was like, well, I'm bored and I'm itchy and what do I do? And how do I find, you know, okay, I'm going to go into consulting. How do I do that? And starting the blog around that was a very separate decision.
Wow. Okay. So this is very different from most of the people who listen to this show and are parents already and thinking about how they might be able to, like you said, and I love the way you said this, show up as a parent, because that's exactly what we're all trying to do, show up differently and not just be there from 6 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock at night, the kids go to bed and then get up the next morning and do it all over again and see our kids for maybe 2 hours a day. So at least that's the majority of us that want to do that. So that's very different. Most of us don't have that cushion. We don't have that safety net. We already have the responsibilities. And most of us are stretched in those responsibilities so that we really don't have any kind of cushion to be able to do this. We kind of have to do it in our off hours or at night when the kids are in bed and build this stuff or on weekends and things like that. So in that sense, you might have a different path to get here. But now tell me more about when you had your daughter and you, of course, have your husband and now you have a daughter and now you are looking at a different revenue stream and having that first business morph into something different. Tell me when your daughter came along and where was the business when your daughter came along?
Yeah. So my daughter is 5 now. And so she was born, you know, my business was 3 years old at that point. The interesting part of that story, though, is that like I never felt, it's not like I had the business all figured out and then became a mom. It was sort of like I had the model figured out in my head, but things weren't really working as well so as they wanted them to. So ahead of her being born, I developed this massive online course. I had already had success with some book sales, and so I was seeing some momentum. When you think about different kinds of digital products you might launch, you know, I was seeing some momentum there. But I went from a book to a massive course and spent months on it. And put it together, and it sold, but it never sold like as well as I was expecting. And it didn't sell as well as I felt like it needed to for me to really justify this balance between motherhood and entrepreneurship, right? Mm-hmm. There was this sense of once she was born and I started to go back into my business and I relaunched the course again. And again, it sold, but it was like, you know, there's something missing here. Like this is not going to be enough from a money perspective for me to say I can do this and take away time from my daughter. There was a lot of, my mindset has shifted a lot since then, but that's where my mind was at the time.
Right.
And so that's when I hired my first coach and also started doing different courses that were much smaller, easier to put together, more interactive, though still very much something that I could plan around my own time and my own schedule. And really that first year after she was born is the year my business started to take off because I started to do things differently and be a lot more strategic and not just like, I'm just going to work forever and figure out how to put all this together. Yeah. I was a lot more strategic with my time and my offers.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like you really started off trying to bite off a huge chunk for yourself rather than doing it like your parenting, which is baby steps at a time. Is that what I'm hearing?
Perfect. Yes. Perfect summary.
Because that's exactly what you probably found when you became a parent. Is that, you know, this baby doesn't, you don't just pop it out and it's, you know, self-sufficient and you have this huge little thing here. It's baby steps. And it takes little teeny things become huge milestones, even though non-parents look at you and go, okay, your kid yawned. Why are you getting so excited? Right?
Exactly.
Wow.
So, right. Things like, you know, the first time I had 15 people enroll in a course, right? The first 1,000 newsletter subscribers, those kinds of things, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Got it. Okay. So tell me business analysis. Tell me a little bit more about what that is. So you said you have this massive online course. What did you teach people how to do?
Yeah, I did and still do teach people how to start business analysis careers. And so we focus on helping people in the middle of their career with some professional experience really figure out what experience they have in business analysis, how to translate it. And just since that's probably unfamiliar to a lot of people, a business analyst is a role in the corporate environment where you're figuring out, it's usually centered around some sort of change and some sort of technology project, and you're doing the requirements for that project. And you're really in the middle of what the business stakeholders want out of that project and what the technology implementers can build. And negotiating and facilitating among that. And so it's very like, it's a mix of being a super analytical and detail oriented and very people oriented because it's a lot of communication and negotiation and facilitation as well.
It sounds very similar to a project manager. So what's the difference?
It is. You know, the roles in corporate are often blended between project manager and business analysis, but there's actually two separate professional organizations for each of those roles. A project manager is typically going to be more focused on the timeline and the schedule and the resources and sort of how do you implement this solution. The business analyst is looking at what that solution is and how does the process change to implement that solution and what does the software actually need to do to implement that solution, not so much what are the steps to implement software.
Yes. So it's a little, it sounds like a little, it's a little higher level thinking. In actually bridging, like you said, bridging that.
Right. Okay. And that's where bridging the gap came from.
Yeah. Got it. And so, okay. So I think I understand. So what you're saying is when you started your blog, the, you saw that people who were in your same industry were reading your blog, not necessarily people who could buy other products that you were producing. But it sounds like that's the product you ultimately produced was the product that those people who were reading your blog needed.
Over time.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So what you thought you were going to sell, you had to pivot and change that based on your own analysis of the people who were actually consuming your content.
Correct.
Got it.
And one of the most frequently asked questions I received even the first year of blogging was, how do I get started as a business analyst? And when I started, that was another pivot I didn't make until shortly after my daughter was born, because I was focusing on all of business analysis and career development. And I realized that was too big for what I was in. And so after she was born, that was another pivot I made, was to say, we're only focused on helping people get started. And that's allowed us to focus more on like entry level courses. And that was something I had already written a book around. So it was a very natural pivot to really just say, this is what we're focused on. But that actually helped things grow to be that narrow. Cause I'm still known within the profession as like, oh, Laura's the one who wrote the book on how to get started as a business analyst. And you know, if you have questions about that, you need to go to Bridging the Gap. It's been a very good marketing move as well.
Definitely. And isn't it amazing, you know, that it's almost sounds like accidentally you wrote this book and it just accidentally turned out to be exactly what your audience needed. But in reality, probably you wrote that book, you started that blog, and it attracted the people who needed the subject you were actually creating content for.
Exactly.
All right. So here again, the ultimate lesson, listen to your audience and do what you know and love how to do. And there you go. You will create success. But you're going to have lots of twists and turns and rapids and totally slow periods and all those kinds of things along the way. I'm sure that's what you've experienced.
Exactly.
Especially in 8 years. So, all right. So we We know how you started this whole thing and how you pivoted it when your daughter was born. And your daughter's five now, and you've still mm-hmm. been bridging the gap. And mm-hmm. now you have this Mom Style Your Business. Now, tell me why the transition and why the second business if the first one's still going strong?
Yeah. So I think when I was working in this first business while my daughter was born, I felt alone around that. And now that I'm out in the mompreneur community, like there's obviously so many awesome resources and so many great communities around this. But at the time I didn't really reach out and look for that. And within my business analysis community, I felt like I almost needed to hide the mom part. Like nobody knew that I was working from home during nap times and building what looks on the outside as a very corporate scaled business, kind of in my PJs in between mm-hmm. nursing sessions, right? Like mm-hmm. it was like this, I felt like this very two-faced appearance. And so there was just this part of me that just kept like running up against that block of feeling like I didn't have anyone to connect with that was in my space. There was this seed of a thought of like, oh, maybe I could help other moms do what I'm doing probably 3 or 4 years ago, right? That there was a seed around that. And I just kept pushing it aside, like, oh no, we're going to have another child. Oh no, I really need to focus on growing this business. Oh no, you know, oh no. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then finally I was like, you know, I don't have to make this like a big deal. Like I don't have to give up my first business to do this second one. And I didn't even have to be a business. I started with an in-person workshop here in Colorado I'm going to walk through my process of coming up with digital product ideas and how you might apply that in your business. And so five women attended this beautiful in-person workshop on a Saturday morning. And it was so much fun. Like it just felt like, oh my gosh, this is just like, this is work that I've been called to do for a long time. And it's really grown from there. And the online community piece has grown and my passion for the work has grown. And the interesting piece is that as that's evolved, it's actually helped me re-energize around my first business too. Like, cause I realized one, how hard it is to build a new business mm-hmm. and how much I had, like how much leverage I have in my first business. And I don't want to walk away from that, but also just how to bring some of that energy back to the first business too. And not feel like I just have to shut it down in order to pursue something new.
Wow. Yes. And it sounds like you have enough help in the first business so that you can take some time and talk to other moms.
And that has been a big focus of my year this year. So I've always had a virtual assistant that's helped me. And we've scaled that a little bit even in years past to where I had a couple different people helping me. But this year, getting that support system in place was an even bigger focus. So now most of our courses are available on demand, and I have instructors from within the business analysis community that do most of the participant interaction work. That was a huge, like, I don't know how I can let go of that part, right? Letting go of that and bringing in that infrastructure has allowed me to actually see how I can grow it further, because now it's not about me always having to do more work. As those sales come in, I can build a system to support that.
You know, I have to put you in touch with a very good friend of mine. His name is Joey Kornman, and he runs a company called School of Motion, and mm-hmm. he does motion design. And we're talking this year, it was a Wednesday in October. Let me see here in my calendar. It was actually October 19th. He actually hit his $1 million mark this year. And you're speaking the same thing, but he does courses to teach people motion design who are actually motion design professionals. Mm-hmm. And so it's a similar, you know, he's talking to professionals in this field. He's not talking about the general public, because I've tried to do this, and I went through one of his courses and it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? You're spending 20 minutes just to move this guy's arm on this video, and we're only moving it like 2 inches, not even. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. I just don't have the patience. It's not my field. But people who need this, he has incredible skills. And so he's developed it where he has other instructors. He's elevated mm-hmm. other people in that profession to be instructors or community leaders or, you know, directors around this course that they're taking so that they can, you know, grow together. Because their courses aren't just on demand. He launches and then they go through the course and it's 8 weeks and they have mm-hmm. certain homework and blah, blah, blah. And so he has an instructor that takes them through that so that as he's grown, he's been able to fly higher and be not in the day-to-day instructors, but actually running the company and the business. And it sounds like
and
that's
love,
where you are.
I love how you put that, elevating other people in his profession, because that was beautiful, because this is still, it's a shift I made, but it's still like it brings back those pings of guilt, right? Like, right. Oh, I'm selling this, but it's not me. And I had to shift my language from I'm stepping back from the business to I'm stepping up in the business, which it has enabled me to do more marketing and outreach and connect with people in different ways, and build more systems and processes. But for a while it felt like I was just stepping back, right? It wasn't that at all. But I had to get past that. So I love that elevating other people in the profession too.
Yes. So Power Parents, I really think that's something we need to talk about a little bit further, because I think Laura, you perfectly have shown how you can do that. And with that, you know, you have to think about the fact that this is not the LauraBrandenburg.com company. Right. This is a business standing alone on its own that you just happen to start and be the director of. So even though it's not you doing whatever, they're not buying you. They're buying the product. Unless it was actually called the Laura Brandenburg solution. Right.
Right.
So
yes.
There's really nothing to get over in that respect, except our own limitations with that. So how did you do that? How did you make that switch?
Yeah, you know, the first person I hired was somebody that I have known for a long time, worked with for a long time, and had connected with at a conference about this time last year. And he was interested in doing it. And so for me, the switch was about, okay, I have this one person, I trust him a lot. It's almost easy to trust him with this. And then, you know, a month or two went by and I saw, gosh, he's doing great work. Sometimes he even does this maybe a little bit better than I could do, right?
That's
and,
the scary
you know,
part, isn't it?
Another person that I had connected with at that conference, I was like, okay, let me reach out to her too and see. And then I started to see, trust the process enough that and see what was making them successful, that I felt like I could reach out beyond like people I had a direct relationship with and actually start to bring people in. That I was vetting, you know, about their experience and their ability to do this kind of work and going through more of an interview recruitment process to continue to trust that it wasn't going to be just like me and him, right? To be able to scale it beyond that too. I really just stepped into it very, very incrementally.
But how did you even come to that conclusion that you even had the openness and the ability to include mm-hmm. him to begin with? Because that's a mindset shift. We're in a cocoon, and it's like we do it all. It is the number one trap of entrepreneurship. We get busy doing the work, and then we delude ourselves into thinking that we are the only ones who can do it, and really we aren't. If we want to actually make this business be a business and be separate from our personal identity. And I'm telling you, this things happen in due course, and these conversations come really the same thing starts coming up all the time. And I was just having this conversation 2 hours ago with another person about this and how we have this cocoon around us. And I basically... I called her on her BS, okay? And we can call other entrepreneurs on their BS when they say, but I'm the only one who can do this, but it has to be me, because if it's not me, then I feel inauthentic, okay? That's BS, okay? This is your mm-hmm. business. This is not your child, okay? Even though it feels like it, this is not your right arm. You're not giving your right arm to someone and claiming it's someone else's right arm, all right? That's not it. This is not your identity. This is your business. So how did you make that mindset shift?
You know, I'm just trying to think back to that because to me it was about finding him for sure. And the fear that I had was more around, you know, well, people won't expect this, right? They are expecting me. And so I felt weird about selling it more as an instructor. I think part of it, though, was also just starting the new business and reaching that natural limit of, you know, if I want to honor what I love most about my work and creativity, then I have to get past this. That was a big part of it. And the other part of it is like, it's work that can be enjoyable in small spurts, but when I would start to have a lot of it at a time, I wouldn't enjoy it as much. So remember reading The Big Leap and talking about your zone of genius and realizing this was one of those tasks that was holding me back. Because it wasn't my zone of genius. It was definitely a, whatever the level below that is, right? Like I forget all of them.
Competence or something. Yeah.
Like I'm very competent in it, able to do it, but not my zone of genius. And so there was a lot of swirling around that, probably a lot of conversations with my coach. I know I talked to him about it probably for 6 months on and off before I actually took the plunge and hired somebody. But yeah, so I don't know that there's like one switch that flipped, but just a lot of work around that area.
Yeah, it probably was the switch that you realized you would not be able to do mom style your business without handing off some of your first business. Mm-hmm. Because there's just so much bandwidth you can have. Mm-hmm. So with the structure that you'd set up, you had to have somebody come in and do something. So that first initial thought is what you have to be honest with. And Power Parents, what I'm talking about, and I'm sure many of you listening can relate, you might have that thought, but immediately your excuse pops right up and goes, nope, I can't do that because, and you can add a because to it, you know, because it's not authentic, because they're buying from me and I can't say it's me if there's somebody else I'm having do it. Or, you know, another excuse comes up. Oh no, I can't afford to hire somebody else to do this. I have to do it because I have to keep my money or whatever. I mean, all those excuses will come up. Oh, it'll take too much time to train somebody else to do it exactly the way I know how to do it. So I might as well just keep doing it. Those are all the things that I would call you on your BS with. Okay. Because those are all BS excuses. It's, you know, you either want to grow or you want to stay in your little cocoon and keep complaining about how you have so little time and you're so stressed and you can't grow because you can't do this. Okay. We're done. I don't accept those excuses. And so you had to realize that and not give in to those excuses and actually, because you knew you weren't going to be able to make the second business work unless you had that first business taken care of, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So now you have your first daughter at 5. Do you have any other kids?
I do. We have one, a second daughter who's 2.5.
Oh my goodness. So you are having fun. The 2.5-year-old is just running around and taking up all your time and being emotional and just outbursts and all that fun stuff.
I think our 5-year-old is actually more emotional than our 2.5-year-old.
Isn't that amazing how they're totally different? Yeah. Yes. Oh my goodness. So can you tell me a little bit about, just quickly, about two businesses, 2 daughters, and it sounds like this second business also kind of started ruminating around the same time as you had another baby.
Definitely.
Isn't that amazing how that works? You know?
Yeah, there was a moment. So after my second daughter was born, we didn't know her gender before she was born. And so there was this like, oh my gosh, I have 2 daughters. Like I'm responsible for 2 women in the world, right? Wow. And then I read while I was like laying in for the first week after I she was born, read Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In.
Yep.
And like, so that was like, oh my gosh, like this is crap, right? Like, like it's a very motivating book, but there's also like, gosh, this is the crap world that my daughters are going to have to deal with in corporate if they choose to go that route. Like that was, you know, hormone induced reading of that book. No offense. I love Cheryl's work.
I got it.
Yeah. And so there was a piece of that. Like, what can I do to try to make a change so that they live in a different world than I lived and through in corporate. And for a while, I thought that was going to mean like going back to corporate. Like there was a period where I was like, oh, do I need to go back to corporate and, you know, be the change from the inside? Mm-hmm. And then I quickly realized like, no, that was just a solution for me.
No.
And so it really made me realize that I really was an entrepreneur at heart and that my way to show up in this space was helping other moms with the kinds of things that I had gone through in my first business. And that was the other seed behind the Mom Style.
Fantastic. Yes. There's always something deeper. There's just always something deeper if we're willing to look at it. I mean, there are reasons. Typically, probably you didn't realize that until you were on the other side of it, that was really your purpose. You just kind of felt the calling to it. You know what I mean? And then later you looked back and went, oh, that's why. That's how I'm going to encapsulate this and understand it. Because we're always looking for an understanding. But many times we use excuses as the understanding, right? I mean, why is my business not growing? Well, we use those excuses that I already mentioned as to why and how we convince ourselves when it really just needs to be breaking free of those things. Wow, that's fantastic. So now you're helping other moms create their own success and create their own lives for their own children and show people how it can be done differently. It doesn't mean that you have to go into corporate and be there, but there are many other ways you can make a difference in the world and not have to do it in corporate unless you're going to make your own corporate. That's cool too, right?
Hey, definitely. I honor all those decisions, right? We all make tough decisions as parents and moms of how to make this work the best for us. And so never want to discount anybody's path or the decisions they're making or how they're choosing to go about it.
You know, that it took me a long time to get there. I was really judgmental several years ago and thinking, nope, this is the way you do it. And how would you not want to be with your kids all day, every day? And, you know, I mean, that was not everybody has experienced my life. So that was exactly what I wanted to do and what I felt compelled to do. And typically we do things in a pendulum swing, right? Our parents, if we don't like what our parents did, we usually pendulum swing all the way the other way. We don't come in the middle, right? We go all the way the other way and think the opposite is the solution. And of course, that's not always the case either. But it's taken me a while to get to that same conclusion that you honor everyone. And because I'm not in your path, so there's no way I should even presume to judge anyone on their choices if I have not lived their life. So
that's beautiful,
right? Because I don't want anyone to judge me, that nobody's lived my life. And nobody's made my choices except me. So, they're right for me, but that doesn't mean they're right for everybody. Wow. All right. I can stop being philosophical now. But Laura, you know, so out of the moms that you've worked with, and I'm sure this relates to dads as well, since this is for parents, what do you see as probably the biggest obstacle that most of the moms that you work with or have in your community face when starting their business? What's the biggest obstacle they have to overcome? Is there one that's kind of a universal one?
For sure. Yeah. And I help mostly like my small slice of that I've pivoted into, as I've developed this business is really helping with the passive income side, the digital product side, eventually want to go into the marketing system side, but I mostly help people now build their first or second digital product. And the hang up that comes up again and again, well, there's a couple, but like that my ideas are not big enough or grand enough, right? And so they try to do what I did, which is invest months in some big, big, big course that then is really, really hard to sell. And I'm always like, let's just find something that we can build together in a month, right? And that you probably already have sitting on your hard drive because you sent it to somebody before or worked on it before. And again, I see people, no, that's not enough. That's not enough. Yeah. It's not good enough. I have to work hard on it if it's going to be valuable and if it's going to sell. And part of my path has been finding those like hidden gems on my hard drive and being like, oh my gosh, this could be a product with a little bit of work and figuring out how to package and position it. So that's probably the number one thing I see people struggle with is keeping it small enough, getting it out there, getting it done, and honoring that that's valuable as it stands and doesn't have to be massive to be valuable.
Thank you. Because really, isn't that amazing? As human beings, we kind of discount what we already know and think that others won't find value in something that we possess, that a knowledge or an experience or an expertise that we have, even if it's small. And if we can help people, Laura, I think you and I together, if we can help people realize that what brought them to where they are right now has value in it, and someone else, just like I was mentioning a minute before, someone else doesn't have that exact same experience and will pay you for what you already have right now. You don't have to go out and get more or be more or do more. What you have right now, someone else needs and doesn't know. So you are doing a disservice to them in thinking that you have to do something more than you already are. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, exactly. And my specific story around that in my first business, so now in addition to the online courses, I have a collection of digital toolkits. And the very first one, I remember talking to my coach. I was like, everybody wants these templates. And so I need to talk about how our courses have templates. And he said, Laura, like, if everybody wants your templates, why aren't you selling them your templates? And I was like, oh, you can't sell them the templates. That's ridiculous, right? Like, they're not useful. They're not enough. You know, all of the things that you just said that we say to ourselves. And he was like, Laura, when are you going to have this done? Like, this is insane. And so it ended up being the easiest product I've ever created and put it together and maybe 10 hours, like in 1 month. And then I did a phase two that maybe took another, 30, 40 hours of work, maybe not. And that's including like sales and marketing and everything. And it still is my consistently best seller and generates at least a few thousand dollars every month in my business. And so, I mean, that was three or four years ago that I did that. And so sometimes those simplest things are powerful, and it's also been that's been the real source of financial freedom is getting more to that mode because those are standalone products. There's nothing I have to do once that product is sold besides some customer support around it, which is all very easily outsourced.
So. That's it. There you go. So Power Parents, the lesson right now, look inside yourself and believe me, there is something you have that someone else doesn't have and they need. And where you are right now is the perfect place to deliver it. So do it. Go do it. Go find that little thing. It doesn't have to be humongous. It's like I keep saying, our kids are not born gazelles. They don't drop to the ground and run. They have little baby steps. So don't start with the gazelle that has to run. Start with the baby that just has to be fed. The little baby step. And that will be enough. Start there. Yay. All right. So any last piece of advice that you would like to give? Let's say there's someone sitting out there and they're just still sitting on the fence. And especially since you talk about starting a digital product or even just starting a business. Let's just start with either a business or a digital product. And they're just kind of rocking back and forth. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should or if I'm good enough. Or how do I know which of the things that I know how to do is something that someone would be able to benefit from? I mean, they're just kind of rocking back and forth, asking themselves all these questions. And they're not quite sure. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I think a part of that comes up too is like, especially if you're seeking out advice online, there's so many different business models out there, right? And like, should I do coaching or consulting or digital products or this or that? And One of the things that I've seen as I start to work with other entrepreneurs around digital products specifically is it's typically not the thing that you do first to get your business off the ground. Right. And so you really want to be looking at engaging your community, like we were talking about at the beginning, probably doing some sort of a service offering if that income is important in the short term, not throwing yourself into a big digital product that has more longer term results for your business. So I love digital products as a business model, but I think you need some sort of traction and audience and community so that you know how to position that product as something that they need. And you can hear the requests that come in and match them up with your experience and figure out those pieces that are on your hard drive that are valuable. So I would suggest kind of getting out there first as a first step, and starting to just share, what do you know? How does it work? What tips can you give people? Join different communities, and that's going to spark that creativity and help you see some of those ideas that you can really form a business around.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. All right, Laura, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I love having conversations with incredible entrepreneurs, and I never know where they're going to go. And it's always interesting, and we can always find all kinds of nuggets of gold for people who are either just starting in their journey or usually are hitting a place where they're just ready to pivot or turn a corner, and we can always provide the value for them. So thank you so much for doing that, sharing it on my show and chatting about your journey so far. And I really think that we're going to need to talk again, especially as Mom Style Your Business grows, and have you back on again in the near future.
I would love that. And thank you so much for having me and doing what you do to help the parent entrepreneur community as well.
To get powered up for your day, just go to parententrepreneurpower.com and listen to any one of the over 100 episodes we've had so far with amazing entrepreneurs just like you. It might just help you feel like a grown-up again.